Elmer with Mission Street. This is BillPod.com, The Week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from San Francisco, California, on the proud American left coast. Today is Thursday, the 3rd of November, 2016. On this date in 644, Umar ibn al-Khattab, the second Muslim caliph, is assassinated by a Persian slave in Medina, not so popular with the Shia. 1838, the Bombay Times and Journal of Commerce is founded. Today, the newspaper is called the Times of India and has the largest circulation of any English language newspaper in the world. 1868, John Willis Maynard becomes the first African American to be elected to the U.S. Congress. He is never seated due to, and I quote, electoral challenges. 1903, Panama separates from Colombia with military support from the United States. The U.S. becomes the first country to recognize the Republic of Panama 10 days later. Give you a hint, this was connected with the Panama Canal. 1918, Poland declares independence from the Russian Empire. 1957, the Soviet Union launches Sputnik 2. On board is a dog named Laika, the first animal to go into space. 2014, the World Trade Center reopens in New York City. It is formerly called the One World Trade Center and is now one tower instead of two. Birthdays are Emperor Meiji of Japan, Rosalie Edge, Michael Dukakis, Rene Barr, Dolph Lundgren, and Ahmed Chalabi, the devious stooge of the Bush administration that they tried to set up as ruler of Iraq, died a year ago today. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. The podcast is written by Joe Larson. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tfeelpod.com or send an email at tfeelpod, T-B-L-P-O-D, at gmail.com. Runoff elections were held in 50 majoritarian districts that weren't decided on the 8th of October. Otsuneba cleaned up, winning 48 of 50 contested seats. The only seats they didn't win were one in Tatsmina, which was taken by pro-Otsuneba independent Salome Zurabashvili, and one in Khashuri, which went to a candidate from the industrialists. Adding those to the 67 that Otsuneba won on the 8th, they have 115 in total, easily enough for a constitutional majority. The party has already talked about a couple of constitutional amendments it would like, making the office of the president elected by parliament rather than the public, and defining marriages between one man and one woman with the purpose of creating a family, which is creepy and weird. They've also spoken in the past about ditching the mixed electoral system and moving to one that is purely proportional, which is one possibility. Multi-member constituencies is another possibility. The other possibility is the Bundesrat system, where majoritarians from a party count towards the proportional total so that you can keep the overall proportion by party the same as it would have been otherwise. The runoff results were disputed by the National Movement. As reported last week, the National Movement candidate for Zugdidi, former First Lady Sandra Rolofs, refused to participate because she believes she received more votes in the first round, but the results were falsified. Party official Giga Bokeria also believes ballot boxes were stuffed in order to give an advantage to Otsuneba. He vowed the party will use legal and constitutional means to oppose Otsuneba in the future. According to results from both the 8th and 30th of October, the National Movement will have 27 seats in the 150-seat parliament compared to the 65 they won in 2012. The Patriots Alliance will have 6, the Industrialists will have 1, the independent Salome Zurabashvili will have 1. She was, by the way, France's ambassador to Georgia when the revolution happened, and then became foreign minister and quickly resigned and was pissed off at Misha. Otsuneba also won a majority in the Ajara Supreme Council with 14 of 21 seats, including all 8 of the majoritarian seats. Other parties getting into the Supreme Council include the National Movement with 5 seats, Borjanadze Democrats and Alliance of Patriots with 1 each. President Margvelashvili will appoint the new head of Ajada's local government, who needs to be approved by the Supreme Council before he or she can assume office. Otsuneba activists clashed with the National Movement activists at a polling center near Gori on the 30th of October. The National Movement said its guy, Albert Medvashvili, was assaulted by a member of the local council with the help from several Otsuneba supporters. For their part, Otsuneba said he showed up at the polling station and verbally abused people there, trying to start a confrontation. The Interior Ministry is investigating the incident. Prime Minister Gheorghe Kvitikashvili spoke to Imedi TV about his party's plans for taking advantage of the constitutional majority. He's not against getting rid of the majoritarian component of Georgia's mixed parliamentary system in time for the elections in 2020, something Otsneva proposed in 2015. Under a strictly proportional system, for example, Otsneva would have received roughly half of the 150 seats in Parliament, a lot less than they have under the mixed system. The Prime Minister affirmed his desire to define marriage in the Constitution as between a man and a woman. Also, he doesn't think that would be discriminatory because any amendment would be combined with an anti-discrimination law. He also addressed the issue of moving Parliament from Kutaisi back to Tbilisi, something that many Otsneva lawmakers want to make happen. He said it won't be a priority during the next few years. Former Member of Parliament Datu Zubashvili, members of Parliament Datu Zubashvili, Tiniko Khidasheli, Vakhran Khmaladze, Tengiz Shergelashvili, Pridon Sakvaralidze, and Pata Zakarishvili all quit the Republican Party, citing disagreements with party leadership over the movement's political future. The Republicans got only 1.55% of the parliamentary vote, well below the 5% threshold for getting into Parliament. Zubashvili criticized the party leadership, saying their post-election program would further weaken their ability to influence the political process. Former Parliament Speaker said he intends to stay active in politics and that he'd held consultations with other people who share his political vision of a liberal European Georgia. However, he has no intention of becoming part of the political opposition. He met with Otsneva officials on the 2nd of November. Following up on the Roustavioti and Cables court case, the three new members of the Constitutional Court were handed over the cases. They should decide whether they want to review them again. In travel to and from Georgia, Azerbaijani Economy Minister Shahin Mustafayev was in Tbilisi last week, met with his Georgian counterpart Dmitry Kumsishvili. The two sides will create a bilateral working group to deepen trade ties. Chinese agriculture advisor was in Tbilisi this week to meet with Deputy Minister of Agriculture Nodar Keretselidze. They spoke mostly about the wine trade between the two countries. Roughly 250 tax officials from around the world came to Tbilisi this week for the Global Forum on Transparency and Exchange of Information for Tax Purposes, which was put on by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, or OECD. High Council of Justice appointed 12 new judges who will serve lifetime terms. Lifetime tenure was introduced in 2013 following a constitutional amendment made back in 2010. The new judges will serve in city and appeals courts in Tbilisi and Kutaisi, as well as in regional courts in Gori, Sakhnaki, and Sakheri. Let me remind everybody that this was passed so that the National Movement, who then had the ability to amend the Constitution at will and did whenever they wanted to, could cement their control over the judiciary. But it didn't quite turn out that way. A group of 22 NGOs who call themselves the Coalition for Euro-Atlantic Georgia issued a statement urging the government to work harder to resist Russian occupation of Abkhazia and South Ossetia. They think the current approach is too ambiguous and the government needs to be careful not to look like it's yielding to the occupation. The statement was in part a response to statements by former Foreign Minister Salome Zurabashvili, who is allied with Otsneva. She said that labeling Russia as an occupying power is counterproductive to diplomatic efforts to resolve the conflicts. Foreign Minister Mikhail Janelidze said the NGOs have nothing to worry about as the government's policy is already clear and results-oriented. The Coalition for Euro-Atlantic Georgia includes such groups as the hardest-working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, as well as Open Society Georgia Foundation, the Economic Policy Research Center, the Georgian Institute of Politics, and a bunch of others. President Margvelashvili's office responded to rumors about him being interested in getting back into partisan politics and perhaps teaming up with Usupashvili. They said he's willing to have dialogues with other political actors, but has no intention of getting back in himself. They also said the president is bothered by recent political developments in the country, apparently referring to Otsneva's constitutional majority. In a separate interview with Roustavioti, the head of the presidential administration, Georgi Abashishvili, criticized the government for putting on the agenda the way the president is elected, saying the country has a lot bigger fish to fry. Plus, the presidency works just fine as it is. National Movement accused the governor of Samska Javakheti of attacking a cameraman working for the party. The incident happened near the village of Muski, where the cameraman was going to film a campaign meeting for Member of Parliament Canada Vaja Chitashvili. The cameraman said that the regional governor, Akaki Machutadze, blocked his way with his car, beat him up, and took his camera. Machutadze responded that he couldn't have done it because he was in his office all day, but he's being investigated for robbery, for stealing the camera. Chief Prosecutor's Office returned property to the family of the late Sulkhan Molashvili, former head of the state audit office. They ruled that the National Movement government illegally obtained his summer house back in 2004. He was in pretrial detention at the time. The government officials told his brother they would let him out if he transferred the 140,000 lari house to the state. He spent 4 years in prison, and in a 2014 ruling by the European Court for Human Rights found his human rights had been abused. Sulkhan Molashvili, I can say, was a pretty corrupt guy, and everybody knew it. The problem was that, you know, this beginning of the Rose Revolution period when they locked people up and said, give us some money and we'll let you out, which at that time there was so much theft going on, people were not so against that, is that they kept doing that and used that for a long period of time. You know, taking the summer house was exactly the kind of thing that they would do. And so they just did that throughout their tenure rather than, I mean, the legal system itself couldn't really have handled those sorts of those things at the time. But if they'd, you know, done that for a month or maybe two, fine. But that ended up being the way they ran things the whole time. Russian Duma ratified an agreement signed with Abkhazia last year to create joint military groups. These groups will be stationed at the Russian military base in Abkhazia and at several other points in the territory. Georgia's foreign ministry responded by calling it an act of annexation and a violation of both the Helsinki Accords and the 2008 ceasefire agreement, which it undoubtedly is. Last week, Russia signed a similar agreement with South Ossetia that has not yet been ratified. Another Georgian citizen was abducted by Russian border guards near the administrative boundary line of South Ossetia. The man was picked up near the village of Kirbali and taken to a detention center in Skhinvali. David Sakhvaralidze, the former National Movement Member of Parliament, who's now the head of the regional administration of Odessa, was splashed in the face with green paint after giving a speech in Kharkiv. It was allegedly done by students, and Sakhvaralidze called it an act of hooliganism. The EU delegation to Georgia announced a call for proposals for a new 10 million lari rural development project in Ajada. They're looking for organizations that can implement the project, which will focus on diversifying the rural economy through more competitive agricultural practices, viable off-farm economic activities, and better management and protection of environmental resources. Deadline for the proposal is the 15th of December. The Interior Ministry destroyed large stocks of illegal drugs that it seized in several different raids over the past 3 months. The drugs include large amounts of cocaine, heroin, marijuana, and several other substances. The National Tourism Administration announced plans to open a rest area on the country's major highways. The areas would be spaced roughly 40 minutes apart on the following highways, going from Tbilisi to Kakheti, going from Tbilisi to Kazbegi, from Tbilisi to eastern Georgia. The government is gauging private sector interest in the project. And the Tourism Administration also published new figures on international arrivals. Through October, arrivals are up 19.7% year-on-year for a total of 5.4 million. About 2.4 million of those are tourists, and the biggest increases of tourists are from Iran, India, Syria, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia. Geostat published new data on economic growth, finding that year-on-year growth was 2.6% during the first 9 months of 2016, 2.2% during the third quarter. Government is sticking to its official projection of 3% growth for the year, so things need to start picking up for that projection to be reached. They also published data on inflation. Year-on-year inflation rate as of October was minus 0.2%, which, with prices increasing for alcohol and tobacco, transport costs are down 6.7% from a year ago, the largest decrease. Carriers of Georgian cash now have access to the new 100 lari banknote, a bright pink and purple note in the same style as the 20 and 50 lari note that came out in February. Central Bank also plans to put out new 5s and 10s in the near future. New four-star hotel, Hilton Garden Inn Hotel, will open on Chachavadze Avenue in Tbilisi next year. The 160-room hotel will be part of a 14-story, $31 million building that's currently being constructed with support from the EBRD. Hilton opened a hotel in Batumi in 2015. They're considering Kutaisi as another location. Hilton also announced plans to open a five-star hotel in the old Ministry of Agriculture building on Kostava Street in Tbilisi. They plan to open the 200-room hotel in 2019. Qatar Airways is increasing the frequency of flights between Doha and Tbilisi. From 15th of December onward, the Doha-Tbilisi-Doha route will be made 11 times per week instead of the current 7. The low-cost Russian airline Pobeda launched flights between Tbilisi and Rostov this week. Also this week, Turkmenistan Airlines launched flights between Tbilisi and the Turkmen capital of Ashgabat, and Ukraine's Dart Airlines will make regular flights between Tbilisi and Kiev from the 27th of November. The Spanish fashion label Zara will purchase clothing from a factory in Ozurgeti owned by Enan Textiles, a Turkish company. The factory is yet to be built, but the company's management expected to employ up to 1,000 people. 130 Georgian products apply for geographical indications which certify their original place of production and can better position them to compete in EU consumer markets. Some of the products applying for indications include Colchian hazelnut, Rachin ham, Karagouli Caesar's mushroom, Chopurti tomato, Lago Deji watermelon, and Helvachouri tangerine, among others. Studies have shown that goods with geographical indications sell for about twice as much as those without. The pizza business is booming, according to a report by Commerçant. A representative of Domino's said year-on-year sales are up 45% so far in 2016. The manager of Ronnie's Pizza also said sales way up from last year, but didn't give figures. Georgian pizza chain Localino also reported that sales are up, largely because of the influx of tourists. Mercedes-Benz is preparing to launch a new S-Class sedan, and it will be available in the Georgian market from September 2017. The price hasn't been decided, but customers will be able to choose between a 4.7-liter V8 engine and a 6.0-liter V12 engine, in case you're incredibly rich. A group of Indian filmmakers is in Georgia to shoot a new film. They're on locations in Borjomi, Kakheti, Chiapura, Batumi, and Tbilisi, and will employ 20 local actors, spending just under 800,000 lari in the process. It's the fifth film to be made under the Film in Georgia program, which offers tax incentives to local and international filmmakers who make their movies here. Parliamentary news. The Elections Commission will issue the final election results on the 18th of November. The first meeting of the new parliament should be held no later than the 19th. The president will make the final decision on when parliament meets for the first time, and he'll open the meeting. The first meeting, the parliament will choose a speaker and vice speaker, as well as chairpersons for the 15 parliamentary committees. The prime minister and other ministers will become acting officials until the parliament nominates a prime minister. Everyone expects the new Otsneva parliament to nominate Kvitikashvili once again. Then the prime minister will have 7 days to appoint ministers, who will have to be approved by the parliament. Otsneva is doing preliminary work on forming the new cabinet. The prime minister and deputy prime minister, energy minister Kaja Kaladze, are going to stay in their posts, as is the health minister Dato Sagarenko. But other positions are up for grabs. Rezonansi reported that Otsneva is considering replacing finance minister Nodar Khaduri with Dmitry Kumsishvili, who's currently economy minister. They would then bring in a new economy minister, rumored to be Gheorghe Gvakhadia, the current business ombudsman. Georgia also needs a new minister for European integration because the current minister, David Bakradze, was appointed the ambassador to Washington. Former Free Democrat Victor Dolidze is being considered for that role. Lastly, it's being rumored that Minister for Regional Development and Infrastructure, Nodar Djavakhashvili, is out and will be replaced by Zura Alavidze, who currently works in the government strategic coordination department. The meme this week is a humorous family tree tracing the lineage of Patriots Alliance leader David Tachamurave, who's from a noble family of Tavadevi that dates back to the Middle Ages. That may be, but a few unexpected characters may have gotten into the bloodline, which is funny. Gheorghe Domsadze writes in Eurasian Nut about the electoral outcome. Otsneva won 76% of the seats, even though they received fewer than half the cast votes. That's a sign that the electoral reforms, such as doing away with majoritarian districts, could strengthen Georgia's democracy. Liz Fuller writes about Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, about elections and Otsneva's constitutional majority. Some of the experts she interviews are concerned Georgia will become a bidzinocracy, and instead of having a functional two-party or multi-party democratic system, the national movement will turn into a weird protest party. Chaikhana has a video about architecture and mesty of the city that's being caught between its historical identity and a desire for modern tourism infrastructure. Stephen Blank writes an intersection about Russia's initiatives in the South Caucasus, which includes making an honest effort at peace in the Nagorno-Karabakh area for the first time. Russia also is also still pushing for a railroad that will link to Iran through Azerbaijan. I'll believe that about NK when I see it. Social Sciences in the Caucasus looks at which foreign cultures Georgians and Armenians think they're closer to. For Armenia, it's neighboring countries in the South Caucasus, with neighboring countries in Asia coming second. Asia isn't defined, so we don't know if that includes Turkey. For Georgia, neighboring countries in the South Caucasus come first, followed by the European part of Russia. Western Europe is down the list for both countries. The Financial looks at companies with the best and worst customer service in Tbilisi according to a survey they conducted of 300 consumers. The best companies are TBC Bank, McDonald's, Bank of Georgia, Geocell, and Rooms Hotel. The worst are Liberty Bank, Georgian Water and Power, Kaztrans Gas, Aversi, and Loli. Or maybe that's Ioli, sorry. The European Alumni Association of Georgia has launched a podcast, which you can check out at soundcloud.com if you just search for European Alumni Association of Georgia. The podcast is in the Georgian language, but tell people you know. It includes what's going on in Brussels as well as Georgia's European relations. War on the Rocks devotes a podcast episode to Russia's hackers and their interference in U.S. presidential elections. In their view, the Kremlin has capitalized on the widespread distrust of Hillary Clinton to promote Donald Trump, a Russian stooge who they have been funding for years after his numerous serial bankruptcies. Ariel Cohen writes for Real Clear Politics about the steady worsening of relationships between the U.S. and Russia. It's not only about geopolitics and NATO expansion, it's an ideological struggle. Stalin, Ivan the Terrible, the Molotov and Ribbentrop Pact are all being rehabilitated by the authorities in Russia. Foreign Policy has a piece on Clinton and Trump, mostly Trump, flipping America's longstanding foreign policy consensus on its head. This election, the Democrat is the gun-toting interventionist, and the Republican is the cautious realist, an idiotic cautious realist, but one nonetheless. This is particularly relevant for Georgia, one of the few countries on earth where the U.S. Republican Party is still popular among some people. The mainly confused wannabe libertarians who mistakenly think the Republicans are tough on Russia. All these things to read are posted on our forum. This week's dive bar number is 1,236, the number of years since the Bagrationi dynasty was established as Georgia's royal family in 780, that's 780 AD, common era. They're one of the oldest surviving royal families in Europe. U.S. citizens, put down what you're doing right now and communicate with everybody you know and vote. Tell them to vote. Tell them to tell people to vote. Get out on the pavement, hand stuff out, make it happen. Make sure you encourage people to get a little sticker that says they voted and to take a selfie and put that on Facebook. Vote as early as you possibly can to avoid lines because there will be a lot. Don't forget to write your letter to Tbilisi, as we mentioned in the last podcast. If you got any questions about that, write tbilpod@gmail.com. American Friends of Georgia is putting on its annual Christmas gala on the 10th of December. The black tie event will raise money for people living in Zegvi who need permanent homes. Tickets are $100 each. More information, call Kate Kalandarashvili at 599-262-0005. Katie Davies is putting on a clothing drive on the 5th of November for people living in IDP settlements in Isani. There are more than 200 families who need help. The event is at Fabrika from 3 p.m. to 5. You're encouraged to bring shoes, boots, books, and toys for men and women and children of all ages. The McLean Association for Children is hosting a charity event at Betsy's Hotel on the 19th of November. The event is to raise money for McLean's work providing occupational therapy to children around Georgia. More details will be available next week. For Friends of Georgia in the UK, flautist Nancy Ruffer and pianist Renee Resnick will be performing Georgian folk melodies at the Leighton House in London on the 3rd of December. Contact the British Georgian Society for more information. Foreign Policy Center in London is hosting a talk on Russian harassment of civil society activists, politicians, religious leaders in post-Soviet countries. It's on the 22nd of November at the Thatcher Room in the Houses of Parliament. You can RSVP by sending an email to events@FPC. That is Foxtrot, P for Paul, C for Cargo, at .org.uk. For friends of Georgia and Wisconsin, Nino Arbelidze, a Chicago-based Georgian musician who is incredibly good, is doing a show at The Frequency in Madison, Wisconsin, on the 27th of November. The show is 18+. Check out Madison Frequency, all written together, no hyphen or anything like that, .com. That's madisonfrequency.com for details. Starting Thursday, the National Gallery will exhibit works by theater designer and painter Georgi Alexei Meskashvili. It includes hundreds of paintings, sculptures, and costumes that he has created since the 70s. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is spielpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.spielpod.com. And we will finish with a song that was written for an episode of This American Life, written by a bunch of Wesleyan, and performed by a bunch of Wesleyan alumni. This is by Leslie Odom Jr. and is Seriously.
Let's start with hope. I threw it in the middle like a skipping stone. A ripple's one, son of a gun. Some would not have thought so, but I stand here, commander in chief, and I take that seriously. But along the way, a rogue ripple turned tidal wave. Reaction to what I tried to do, a rebirth of a nation's hatred. Red, white, and blue, is black in there too. Seriously, one man rewriting the book on bad behavior, maybe cheats the neighbors, feels he gets what they pay for. We can't pat him on the back and send him on through. No man's ignorance will ever be his virtue. Is this the best we can be? Seriously. Let's talk of fear and why I don't bring it in here. It's a dangerous word, spooks the herd, and we all bleed in the stampede. Fear makes a false friend indeed, and I take it seriously. Oh, hear me now, before the truth gets drowned out by a demigod flexing. A demigod flexing. Sees history repeating. Angry. Am I angry? You ask, am I angry? And I at a loss for words. After all we've done, every battle hard won, every hair gone gray, in the name of this place, in a history plagued with incredible mistakes, still I pledge my allegiance to these united, divided states. Let's end with why. It's a question I wanna ask of us as a populace. Why not take our time, all the weight of this story, seriously?